The Lord, because He had called him into the ministry, and it is the Lord who put him in that chair. Soon he will be standing here. All these years he's been in the ministry. For those of you who may not be aware, he's been a youth pastor at Peel International Baptist Church. I believe it's more than 5 years now. And the Lord has been doing many wonderful things in his life, and that's why our missions committee have invited him to be one of our speakers in Missions Month. And it is a pleasure for me to introduce not only a fellow pastor, but a friend all these years. And this is what mission was all about. When it started in to someone's life, one of these days, what you would see is the whole program of the Lord. I'm not preaching. I would leave that to our preacher. May I call Pastor Marvin? I would normally call him John, but for us, it is Pastor Marvin today.
I complimented the congregation this morning. First and foremost, it's just Marvin. Brother Marvin, Kuya Marvin, Marvin is fine. I complimented the congregation this morning, first thing, because I said, a lot has changed, but nothing has changed. It's a compliment, meaning I remember I was bred here. I was raised here. Spiritually, this is where I battled a lot of things, and so it's my thankfulness to the congregation to say the support from youth all the way to now, because fruits of the labor not only spread out to Brampton. I still work at Peel International Baptist Church, just to update Pastor Zaldi. I am the youth worker there and church support to the pastor, but I also am in consulting and help to two other churches, and a new church that I've started with is a Vietnamese Baptist church, and they needed dire help in the youth, and I started helping them out. It's effective August, actually, of this year, and we've been doing training with some of the leaders, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing with the youth, and I think it's just a matter of putting a little bit of a fire underneath them to say, hey, you know, are you used by God in so many ways? And it's not even changing a challenge or changing an energy for the kids. It's just a refocusing and a directing, and it's awesome to see, because I am very engaged and very blessed by what they're doing. Historically, as I said, I've been here for quite some time, and I've seen the growth. And this morning I said to the congregation as well, I remember being at the front of the church. I remember growing up in the church and, you know, doing the, can you do the narration? Can you be Joseph 20 times in every play? Can you lead this Sunday school youth? And it goes, the only thing that I didn't have a hand in, that I was not involved in, I was involved from a Christian ed standpoint, but I was never a baby in the nursery. I never made it being a baby in a nursery, but every aspect of the church, all the way to leadership, I had the privilege of being in, and therefore that's a big hand in my ministry now. And it's been a joy, even through turmoil, and God really grows you through turmoil as well. And for those who are going through struggles, I know from speaking at many churches and doing a lot of conferences for youth, I know this, that 30% of you are in something really, 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 really deep. And you're going through something really, really deep. And another 30% of you are just getting out of it, and another 30% of you are just getting into it. And it's not if it's going to happen, it's when. And I see that in my life, but God has always been so gracious and faithful. And I realized wherever you are led, you were appointed. And being appointed where you are now and where you will be, while you're there, God keeps you. And while God is keeping you, He's also training you. And in due time, in His timing, and by His will, He will take you out. So it's a beauty to know who God is through everything. Because sometimes in prosperity, that's our crises. We tend to miss God sometimes in prosperity. We pray for it, and then it takes us away from God. It's an irony. But everything that we're doing now for God, in service, in ministry, in life, in studying? Is it enough? I was challenged to bring forth a message to take you out of your comfort zone. It's very difficult to do that. It's very difficult to tell somebody, hey, you need to step up, man. I will talk to you like I do the young people. Because when you sit down and rest, it's hard to pull you up and say, work. I think it's time, again, to do that. But the challenge is, you have to do it on a personal basis. If you're being challenged only in church or in Bible study sometimes, you're in trouble, friend. You need to be growing. The church responsibility is to make sure that when you're on your own is when you do the work. This is equipping. This is resting here. And when you step out those doors, let's get to work. So are you doing enough? Because this morning I had 20, 25 minutes, so I had to cut out a few things. But I think this afternoon, I know you guys stretch it a little bit more because the food starts, you know, smelling around 12:35, 12:40. That's my key. So I can go a little bit. So let's go ahead and commit this to the Lord. And let's go ahead and take the distractions out of our heads and go and meet God in His place of worship in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we long to see You. Whatever it is distracting us right now, help us to not put that on the platform that we have already. The things in the past, the things to come. Help us to enjoy this spiritual meeting with You now. To see You now. And to be challenged, not only challenged, but to take on the challenge, to do what You ask us to do through Your word, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there are requirements for service that I love to go through. This is something that's been close to my heart for the last year. As I mentioned at the previous service, there is a cycle of church responsibilities or growth cycle that I go through with the young people. And if you don't go through those steps, you will hit spiritual fatigue. Sometimes in ministry, sometimes in personal devotion, you wonder, why am I barren? Why can't I see what I need to see? How come when I'm singing the songs with a group of people, I feel very emotional and I'm on a spiritual high? But when I'm by myself, it seems to be not present. Why is it that in this ministry, when little turmoil hits, little bump in the road hits, it's quitting time? Got to go somewhere else. Why is it when nobody's going to pat me on the back or say, Kuya, ate, you did a great job? If nobody said that, it's time for me to go. Why is that? Why do I look at service for me, from my vantage point only? What can I get out of this? You see, this is why I brought forth to you in Luke the parable of the Samaritan. The lawyer went up to Jesus. He knows. He knows what he wants to hear. You ever notice sometimes when you have a problem, you're not going to go to somebody who will tell you the truth. You'll go to somebody who you want to hear your truth. You already know what you want. You need confirmation. And in some cases, justification. Let's just be honest. You need an excuse. And you will go to that person. And lowly as it seems sometimes, we go to our non-Christian friends. We need some spiritual advice, yet we go to somebody who's not spiritual at all. How does that work? And you wonder why you spiritually trip. It's amazing to me. I watched the Olympics. I love the Olympics. This is like, oh, I had to stay up all night. But I said, I got to preach tomorrow. Between the Olympics and Pokemon Go, I didn't know what to do. But we always seem to understand, hey, let's do something for me first, you see? Is this what's required in service? Why then is our missions an issue? It's there, but is it enough? Why is my personal evangelism an issue? It's there, but is it enough? Why is my personal growth an issue? It's there, but is it enough? You have a priest. You have a Levite. You have a Samaritan here in the parable. Lawyer goes up to Jesus, tell me what I want to hear. Jesus says, no, do this instead. Because I'm not going to answer the question from your mouth. I'm going to answer the question from your heart that you're really asking. And the lawyer said, oh, mahirap yan. That's a little too heavy. You're asking me to uproot. You're asking me to be uncomfortable. You're asking me something that is difficult. You see, this is the issue that we have with service. So if you notice what happens, and I give all credit to Pat Damianti to do this because I read his stuff, and the requirements for serving other people was huge from this standpoint, from the standpoint of the Samaritan. And when you see that hurt person, you see that the castaway on the side, that can be representative of anything. You see, that's representative of, yes, practically the person who's hurt, but that's also the world in pain. Those are your friends. Those are the moral hurt people out there. Physically, they look fine, don't they? You see, because that's exactly what the devil, they represent some of the things that you want, yet if you look under the emotional, the spiritual, they're in pain. And what do we do? What have you done about it? If I asked you your personal evangelism life, not the church, not the group, not the cell group, not your family, yours, your personal evangelism, what have you done this week? Can't answer it? This month? No? This quarter? No? This year? When have you intentionally sat down with somebody close to you or not close to you and say, this is how you meet Jesus Christ? How long have you lived in your area and yet you don't know the neighbors? Your family sees you going to church, but have you sat down intentionally with that family member? Yes, you know my life, but here, let me tell you about my God. And here we are praying, grow our church. Help us to reach people out there. You. Me. I go to conferences and I sit down with youth pastors and pastors. And they look at me and says, brother, what can we do to make them as mature as us? As soon as I hear that, I know you have a lot of growing to do, brother. It's the LeBron James syndrome. Yes, I'll say it. I know they won. And you know, LeBron James got hurt by what they said on the court. His feelings were hurt, apparently. And on the podium, in front of millions and millions of people, LeBron James said, you know, I know they said I was hurt, but I'm LeBron James. I'm the greatest player that ever lived. And I'm going to take the high road. Because I always do take the high road when people attack me. So I'm going to do it now. Brother, the fact that you said that did not take the high road. So when I speak to mature Christians who say they're mature, a lot of growth needed there. I am never stopped growing. I don't know enough. I need to do more. And this is the challenge for you. Because we see here, the first thing that you'll notice here in the whole issue of what's going on. The Levite, the priest walked by, Samaritan stopped. What did he do? Awareness, consciousness. He knew what was wrong. He knew that person needed help. It's almost common sense. But why do you have to state it? Because this is our state as human beings. We know our pain. We couldn't care less about your pain. I will go to your house, ask you about your pain, wait for a spot to give you my pain so you can look at me. I know everything about my pain. I'm always the victim. But when I look at you, let's put away your pain first. But I'm here, so therefore I'm serving. Whoa. Awareness and consciousness. The Samaritan knew that person. Listen, this is a dangerous trek, 17 miles from one place to another place. They do that walk. It's called the commute. Here we know that by subway. We have subway here. And yet, when we're in the subway, here's what we do in the subway. Ready? Ding, ding. Ding, ding. Ding, ding. Because we're praying, we're reading. Look around you. I'm sure the Levite was thinking godly things, but there's an opportunity right there in front of you. I'm sure the priest was on his way to church. Good and well, but there's an opportunity right there in front of you. You're going to go to church to do what? To train. To do training for what? Evangelism. There's an opportunity right in front of you and you walk by it. As we walk from Bathurst to Lippincott, how many have we seen? Oh no, we're going to church. I'm attacking myself. Because sometimes when I'm driving, I drive for me. When sometimes I'm lining up, I line up for me. When sometimes I do things only for me, not being aware and conscious of the need of others around. And here we are, call ourselves servants of God. It's self-serving for God. One didn't stop. Two didn't stop. They called themselves religious leaders. Would I be defiled if I helped? Would I create gossip associated ako dito? What if I did that? My brother taught me something that I don't have the gift for, that I'm learning. Working with street kids, working with street people. And on my spare time, I do that. You know, I know you send a lot to the Philippines, by the way. If you sent to the Philippines, they increase the box prices, so, you know. Make sure that you should have a list of all the people going to the Philippines. Just send it. But have extra pairs of shoes, extra pairs of clean stuff in a bag in your car. And when you see a person who knocks on your window, say, I don't have anything, but I have a bag of stuff for you. Put a track in there. Money is good. A toothbrush in a case, in a toothpaste. Wow. They want that. Soap. What my brother taught me is three things in evangelism that's 100%. And I can tell you this, it's 100%. But we don't do this because it's very difficult. Again, because it's uncomfortable, it's dirty, it's nasty. Mabahoy. Number one, when you see people in need, look them in the eye. This is human dignity. I love dogs. And one thing about dogs, dog training is, if you don't know the dog, you flank it, meaning you go sideways. Don't be scared of it. You flank it. And if you look a dog in the eye, then it's a challenge, and maybe he's going to go at it. And if it's a fear biter, it will bite. But you don't look it in the eye. So if that's the training for a dog, you're doing the same thing for a human being. They're not dogs. You know, you look them in the eye. And ready? Say hello. So the number one step is look people in the eye. Number two, ready? This is the difficult one that most people seem too unable to grasp. You can't get it. It's like new. So, number one, look people in the eye. Number two, be yourself. As soon as you start talking, you want to be like Pastor Zaldi. You want to be like Neil. You want to be like, no, be yourself. God appointed that time for you and your skill set at that time. That compliment to evangelize at that time is for you. And number three, let God do the rest. 100% guaranteed. Not by your results, whatever the result's going to be, but according to God, His purposes will be done there. Number one, be aware and be conscious of what's going on around you. Let alone the world, sometimes in here, sometimes in the church, sometimes in your home. How are you? Okay lang. Okay, see you tomorrow. Yet, the heart is breaking. Yet, the darkness is creeping in. You're not that aware. Why? Because you have your agenda for the day. But the first step of being conscious is not enough. Luke 10:33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. First, be conscious. Be aware of what's going on. Number two, really have compassion. Have the heart. Be willing to do whatever you can to help him or her or them. You have to understand, God puts you in that place. He appointed you in that place. Why? Because you have the resources to help. That's the beauty of what God sets up for you. You pray it all the time. Lord, give me the opportunity to glorify you. Well, brother, sister, here it is. Take two steps outside. You can glorify God. First person you see. Number one, consciousness, be aware. Number two, have compassion. But it's not enough, is it? Not enough to feel. You see, the same thing we do with missions, the same thing we do when we are in struggle to help. I want to, I feel, bibigyan lang ako ng pera. I'll just do it. But you have the skill set to help. I'll keep my hand off. You see, the third step is take action. Really do something about it. Luke 10:34, and he, the Samaritan, went to him. You see, the question didn't become, should I help? That's not the issue here. The issue is, how much can I help here? How much more can I help? Is it enough what I'm doing? You see, some of us, we don't do anything anymore. Others, we do just enough. But can we do more than enough? The cycle of church discipline, remember, or just church growth? You have salvation. What's the second one? This is from your baptism handbook, actually. You have salvation. Then you have water baptism. And then you have church membership. And then you have involvement. And then you have instruction. And then you have service. And then you have duplication or discipleship. Even in that, you can't stop until you do the cycle. Some people stop at salvation. That's okay. I get to heaven. Yay, I'm done. That's a starting point, brothers and sisters. Water baptism, the first act in pleasing God. After you're saved, the first act to please God and His command, you won't even take the responsibilities of church membership and all its benefits as well. Involvement. I said to people this morning, you know how you can tell when people stop a church membership? You go to the church. You go there early. Sit in a common spot. You'll see people coming in. Brother, can you move? That's my seat. I know. That's my seat. For the last 25 years, I've been sitting there. Sister, what else are we doing? You can't stop a church membership. You got to get involved. After you get involved, be instructed in the things that you have aptitude and gifted for. After that, serve. And once you serve, you don't stop there. Put somebody else through the cycle now. You see? So in service, you cannot stop at consciousness. You can't stop at compassion. You can't even stop at action. You have to complete the action. 10:34 of Luke. And he did what? He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. You mean to tell me the Samaritan had nothing else to do? He was going around that day, says, okay, let me look for somebody to help. Let me get my oil ready. He had a perfect life. He probably had no problems. Never said that. It almost doesn't matter. His focus was on others. You see, this is even something that we lack in our own personal lives. Sometimes we stop at just action. We don't complete the action. In evangelism, we call this follow-up. I've seen too many events. Too many events. It's easy. It's easy to promote, set up, fund, and program an event. Easy. We can do it in 20 minutes. And then people come and meet the Lord. And then what? And then the next event. No. And then we follow up on the ones that met the Lord at that event. We have to complete the action. He saw, He tended. He transported. And then he asked for an update after he was finished because he was going to come back. So are you doing enough in your service? Or is it too much again? I have too much on my plate. You don't know, Brother Marvin. Pastor, church, God, you don't know what I have. Really? You don't know how heavy. I should be the one that is hurt over there. But it isn't. This is your opportunity to serve. Don't stop at consciousness or compassion or action. Go all the way to follow up and care. And then 10:35. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins. Be mindful here. This isn't when a panhandler knocks on your window. Oh, here's a toonie. Even a toonie's big, huh? You take out a loonie. Oh, hey, loonie na lang. Hey, here, you know, 1 silver coin represents 1 day's wage. 1 day's wage. So if you were, what's minimum wage now? $12, $15 an hour? What is that? Let's say you make $100 a day, right? So there you go. You see somebody there. You're going to Popeye's Chicken or wherever you're going to go for lunch. And then you're walking out and you see somebody in need. Oh, here's $200. That's very sacrificial. See, we can't even fathom that. Oh, well, he doesn't need that because here's our mentality. Alam mo, brother, bibigay mo dyan. The drugs lang yan. Iinom-inom lang yan. Listen to me. When it leaves your pocket, from God to your pocket, to that person, your accountability stops there. God works on what He gave you. There's an accountability there. From your hand to your reach, that's your accountability and your heart transformation right there. What happens after that is God's, not yours. If He wants to do that, He doesn't answer to you. It wasn't your money. He answers to God. But God gave you the opportunity to help. So whose condition are you abiding by helping other people? You know, I don't want to help that person because, ready? Exactly like the lawyer. Because I don't like that person. I want to help this person because I like this person. Creeps into the danger of what spirituality is. I will not do that work because I like that work. I will do this work because I don't like that work. I will not go to that church or go to this church because I like or I don't like. I will not support that ministry because I like and I don't like. I will not. I. And then you become like a Levite and a priest that you just walk by. The next day, Luke 10:35, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense. It could have been more. It could have been more. So friends, when you are conscious of what service is, and you have compassion, and you take action, and you complete the action by caring, there is a cost. You want to know when you've done enough? When you can't give enough. There is a sacrifice. This is where most of us, no way, not for me. I've worked too hard for what I have. I've worked too hard for my time. I worked too hard for my comfort zone. It's time now for me. You're in trouble, friend. Because there's only 2 things that you need to invest in this life. 2 things that is eternal. The Word of God and the souls of men. There is always a cost when you complete the totality of what God wants you to be when it comes to service. May it be in the ministry of the church, in the leadership of the church, or as a member of the church walking day by day. You're representing who Jesus Christ is in that service. And you're telling me that God can go ahead and forego all the costs and sacrifice for you, yet you cannot. You will always have that cost. Costs will always be involved there. Sometimes it's your time. And we value that, don't we? Sometimes it's our emotion, that one we hang on to. I know that. I love Filipinos. I am one. But believe me when I tell you, Filipinos are number one in hanging on to grudges. Boy. I love Jesus Christ, Brother Marvin. I follow Him all the way. I love how He forgives me. What about you, brother? Do you forgive? Ay, iba na yun. Hindi ako Jesus eh. Sometimes it will cost you your time. Sometimes it will cost you your emotion. Sometimes financial resources, those that have it, when God gives you the opportunity and you turn away, you have denied that person the blessing from God through you. And therefore, you denied yourself the blessing from God. Time, emotion, financial resources, and most of the time, all three. And that's why we stop short of fulfilling the totality of what God expects in service. I will do up to what? My comfort level. That's all. Which of the three are you? And have you done enough? Are you the Levite and the priest? Are you the robbers who just take? Or are you the Samaritan who says, regardless? You get emotional when we sing, I will follow Jesus, when we take up the cross. The hardest part is leaving the doctrine and start the applying. That's the hardest part. One person told it this way to me. It's like a plane leaving the runway. You want to do it. You want to do it. You know the doctrine. You know, you're equipping. You've over-equipped. You know, some of you are way equipped. And I can tell because, the practical things. Oh, I already know that. Okay, let's start doing. And you're on the plane, you're on the runway, but you stay on the runway. You never leave the runway. You just circle and circle and circle. This is enough for me. But my question for you is, do you think it's enough for God? Expect so much from God, yet He requires certain things from you. The cycle of service. If we generate this type of impact in our servicing, what do you think is going to happen in the Christian Ed? What do you think is going to happen in cell groups? What do you think is going to happen in evangelism? What do you think is going to happen in outreach? And what do you think is going to happen in missions? It's good to be with you. It's good to worship with you. But let's work together because it's not enough. Let's serve the way God wants us to serve and impact who we need to be impacting. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us a challenge. It was a parable to show us how, who you are, how you serve, how you are faithful, how you follow up, how you care, how you have compassion. We need to have that in our lives. We need to serve that way. We need to be like the Samaritan. We have to go all the way. So that when you say at the end, I saw you doing that, and I commend you, good and faithful servant. We know you're enough. Help us to start doing enough. Help us not to focus so much on our issues. You'll take care of that. You already know our issues. You've appointed us to be where we are with what we have and who we are with our skill sets. Now help us to glorify you in it by serving. And in turn, you are happy. And isn't that the goal? We want you to be happy because you make us so happy because you've given us everything. We thank you for this time. We glory in who you are. In Jesus' name I pray.